Well, amen. God has an all-sufficient grace for each one of us today, doesn't he? As we sang, he's a faithful God. He's a powerful God. He's a gracious God. There's no one like Jesus. Well, I want to say good morning to all of you here at Morningside. It's a great honor and privilege to be here with you this morning. As was mentioned before, my parents served here over 30 years ago, and you all are very dear to them. My sister Lindsay, her middle name is Beth, and my middle name is Wayne. So that gives you an idea of what your pastor and his family mean to my family. As was mentioned as well, I'm a pastor in Smithfield, Virginia, and my wife, Tori, and I, we've been married almost 10 years now, and we have four kids, Ella and Lacey and Emmett and Isaac. I think we got a picture somewhere here. There they are. That's us just a couple of weeks ago. And my wife, Tori, there. Our oldest is Ella. She's 7, and Lacey, she's 6. And Emmett, he's 3 years old, and then our big boy, Isaac, there, he's 7 months old, and just very blessed. I'm blessed to be here with you this morning. This morning, I invite you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. This was Paul's final message to the church at Ephesus. And if you knew it would be the last time you were speaking to someone, wouldn't you choose those words carefully? Well, Paul, he did know this would be his final words to the church at Ephesus, and this is what he chose to say. It's his challenge to take up the armor of God. He says in verse 10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we open your word now, and as we do, we pray that you would open our eyes, that you would open our ears, that you would open our hearts to you, and that you would reveal to us what you want to show each one of us from your word today, so that we might leave this place walking in the way that you want us to walk, standing firm in your armor, fighting the spiritual battle, experiencing victory that you have purchased for us, bearing fruit for many years to come. That's what we pray for this morning. And would you bind Satan? Would you bind the enemy against the ministry of your word now? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, whether you realize it or not, you are in a war. There is a very real battle for your heart, for your mind, for your body, for your marriage, for your children, for your life and future. These verses very plainly and repeatedly tell us what God wants us to do. He wants us to stand. We must not retreat. This armor, it offers no protection for your back. The armor was made under the assumption that the one wearing it will be marching forward. The church of the living God and the powers of hell are on a collision course, and God commands us to stand firm. And that's the main point of this passage. It's to stand against Satan in God's power and in God's armor. We must stand against Satan in God's power and in God's armor. You see, when you join God's team, Satan deploys his team against you. And our adversary isn't waiting for us to get serious before he launches his attacks. He is organizing his forces and marching out for battle, whether we have our armor on or not. And so this is no time for distractions. It's the time for every Christian to man the battle station, to hold the line, to charge ahead in the power and armor of God, because greater is he who is in us than he who is in this world. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. These words are so clearly a call to action. And you want to know why so many people, Christians even, they feel a lack of purpose. I believe they feel like they have nothing to live for because they're living for nothing. We're doom scrolling and binge watching our lives away. What purpose you might feel if you engaged in the spiritual battle to stand firm against the enemy. And one of the great tragedies of Western Christianity is that we are not organized for war. We live as if it is peacetime when it is not. We have traded serving for consuming, self-control for sensuality. We have traded sober-mindedness for the buzz of entertainment. We have traded the battleship for the cruise ship, and then we wonder why society is a sinking ship. Brothers and sisters, we have forgotten that we are at war. And our enemy has been marching and maneuvering while the church of Jesus Christ has been asleep on the watch. We have a real enemy. We're in a spiritual war. And Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, says to us all, stand. But maybe like me, you wonder, well, how can I stand? I'm only one person. And I'm no match for Satan and all of the forces of evil. Well, Paul has something to say to we who are weak. He says, stand against Satan in God's power. Verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his might. We may be no match for Satan, but he is no match for God. My mind goes back to that most famous battle between David and Goliath. You'll remember how big and scary and powerful Goliath was, that day after day, no one would step forward. No one would stand firm until one day a young shepherd boy showed up. And what did David say? He said, you come to me with a sword and with a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, for the battle is the Lord's. David was not stronger than Goliath, but God was stronger than Goliath. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. God has given us real power, power to stand against the devil. And this isn't just something Jesus does for us. It's something Jesus intends to do in us and through us. Elsewhere in Ephesians chapter 3:20, our church family, we stood and recited this verse for a year, a couple of years ago, every single Sunday as we left church. This is what we recited together. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power, listen to this, that works in us. That works in us. Paul said elsewhere in Colossians 1:29, for I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me. Maybe you've been surfing before, and think about surfing for a minute. I mean, can anyone surf on a pond? Come on, tell me. Can anyone surf on a pond? Of course not. We need a power outside of ourselves. We need that wave that's going to lift us up and move us forward. And yet, when you paddle out there, do you just lay on the board? Just lay there passively and just let that wave take you? Of course not. You won't be surfing that way either. You need that power outside of yourself, but that doesn't mean you don't have a role to play, does it? In surfing, you have to position yourself. to receive the power of the wave. You have to watch and paddle and stand and balance and use all of your strength to cooperate with the power of that wave to move you forward. And so it is with God. David said, the battle is the Lord's. But he stood out there before Goliath and he wielded a sling and he wielded a stone. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? We, like David, must step forward on the battlefield. Paul said to fight the good fight of faith. And if we are going to stand against Satan, we must stand in God's power and in God's armor. We can't look at all the armor today, but I want to focus on one piece. I want to focus on that shield of faith. He says in verse 16, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Opposing armies would have barraged the Roman infantry with arrows from a distance before they engaged in hand-to-hand combat. It was like first century artillery meant to weaken and soften the front lines before battle. A Roman soldier without his shield would have been dead before the major fighting ever got started. And so it is in the Christian battle. Without faith, you've lost before you've even begun. If faith is the victory that overcomes the world, then unbelief is our certain defeat. Faith is a shield. It extinguishes Satan's flaming arrows. This military imagery, it represents spiritual realities. So let's consider each part of that analogy further. What are Satan's flaming arrows? And how is faith a shield that extinguishes them? The first thing, flaming arrows. Flaming arrows. Satan has two great quivers from which he launches his fiery arrows, falsehood and fear. Satan is a liar, and that serpent's greatest weapon is deception. Jesus said the devil has been a liar from the beginning. But when you believe the truth will set you free. You see, if Satan cannot deceive you, he cannot defeat you. If Satan cannot deceive you, he cannot defeat you. So he has a volley of lies aimed right at you, meant to destroy your faith and defeat your purpose. He seeks to confuse. He says, did God really say? He aims to demoralize. He says, you really can't change. He says, you'll never be free. He says, God doesn't love you. No one loves you. He says, you can't be forgiven. And he pierces your heart and mind with a lie. But Satan, he's the craftiest creature of all, isn't he? Not only will he lie to demoralize you, he will feed you lies that will also blind you with pride. He will puff you up with so much arrogance and self-assurance, there'll be no more room for faith in God because you're filled with faith in self. It was after Gideon had defeated Midian that he made the ephod that became a snare. It was when Samson believed he was too strong to fail that he became too weak to fight. It was when David was strong and established that he was tempted to number the people. It was after Hezekiah had led a revival and been delivered from his enemies and been healed from sickness that he became proud. Satan knows all too well that pride comes before a fall. You see, he is happy to destroy with a variety of lies. It would please him to deceive you into believing that you are forgotten by God. But he is just as pleased to deceive you into forgetting your need for God. His quiver of falsehoods is filled with flaming arrows of all shapes and sizes. And they are set ablaze with lies to destroy your faith. But when falsehood fails, Satan turns up the heat with fear. Satan isn't just a slithering snake, is he? He is also a roaring lion. He wants to take you out of the battle. He wants you to retreat in fear. And Satan tends to point his lies at our deepest insecurities. He wants to unsettle you. He wants to intimidate you. He wants you to be afraid and worried and paralyzed with fears. Like the fear of man, the fear of being rejected. Am I going to have their approval and acceptance? Will I be canceled? The fear of man is a snare. It has taken many out of the fight. Or the fear of not having enough. Will I have enough to buy that house or buy that car? Will I have enough money to have some level of financial security or be able to retire? Or the fear of sickness and death. Satan doesn't want you to have hope beyond this life. He wants you to be so crippled by fear, the fear of sickness or the fear of death, that you fail to ever live. Or the fear of the future. Maybe you have that meeting coming up. You have that test. You have that doctor's appointment. Or you're thinking about your kid's future. Or you're thinking about the future of the economy or the country or your personal relationships. And Jesus has said, don't worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble for its own. But Satan wants you to fear. He awakens those fears with the fiery trials of life. Peter said in 1 Peter 4, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you. And how do we respond to those fiery trials? Well, he tells us in chapter 5 that we ought to humble ourselves. You see, Satan works through pride. We have to humble ourselves in the fiery trial. We have to cast our fears on God. And we have to be sober-minded. We have to be watchful because we have that adversary, the devil, who's prowling around looking for someone to devour. But how do we resist him? Resist him firm in your faith. Resist him firm in your faith, that shield. And Peter was speaking from experience. What did Jesus tell him? In Luke 22, he said, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. What a fiery trial. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. He has a volley of fears aimed straight at your insecurities. And you need a shield. You need a refuge of protection that can block and extinguish the fiery arrows. And according to Peter and Paul, that shield is the shield of faith. But before we look at that, I think we need to consider some other shields we might be trying to hide behind. I call these false shields. False shields. Maybe it's the shield of money. Paul warned in 1 Timothy 6 that the rich in the present age should not be proud, but they should set their hope on God and not the uncertainty of riches. Maybe we hide behind the shield of achievement. But don't you know that past success will not guarantee future victory? How the scriptures lament, oh, how the mighty have fallen. Maybe it's the shield of food. Your problems are eating you alive, so you're trying to eat away your problems. Or the shield of entertainment. We don't want to face the spiritual realities of our lives, so we try to escape. We try to distract ourselves with entertainment and social media and TV, but that is no shield. Or maybe it's even the shield of weapons. Maybe your peace and security in a chaotic world is locked up in a safe in your house. My dad has said on many occasions, I'm a pistol-toting preacher. And we have guns, and we love to go shooting. And I remember one holiday break, we the guys in our family, we had gone over to my brother's property, and we had all brought our guns out, and you know how it is, guys. You know, we're looking at each other's guns and just enjoying shooting together. And I have a Glock 19, and you know, the slide on those Glocks on the back half there has these deep grooves. Well, my dad was shooting my gun, because, you know, it's fun to shoot your gun, but it's more fun to shoot somebody else's gun, isn't it? So he's shooting my gun, and just the way that he was holding it, his fingernail just kind of got caught on that groove. And would you know it, that that slide is significantly stronger than your fingernail. And he fires the gun, and then all of a sudden, he's bleeding everywhere. I mean, blood's pouring out of his finger, and, you know, we all have these, you know, our ears on and everything, and we don't really know what's happening. We just look over there, and his hand's bleeding. We think, did he just shoot himself? Well, fortunately, he didn't, but that slide had actually pulled his nail up, and so he was bleeding everywhere and pushing it down. And my brother, he's an insurance agent, so of course he's always thinking of safety. He's got his first aid kit, and then he's, you know, wrapping it up, and then he's saying, all right, you know, we've had enough fun for the day. We just need to, you know, stop while we're ahead before someone gets really hurt. But my dad insisted. We were going to shoot. We were going to finish what we were doing. And so he kept on shooting. And we had a great time. But we have guns. In fact, you know, just recently, I'm doing my own little AR build. So what I'm about to say is not against guns. Hear me. But you remember those Under Armour commercials? What did they say? I will protect this house. Right? I will protect this house. And so many men rightly have this mentality. You ought to seek to protect your family. But let me ask you this. Have you prepared for the real spiritual battle as much as you have prepared for a potential physical battle? Are you prepared? You know, you could set every alarm and lock every door, but Satan is actively working in your home through your child's phone and through your TV and through your music. You may think, no one's going to come in my house and mess with my family. All the while, the devil is already firing lies out of every television and phone and iPad in your house. And so you may be armed to the gills, but apart from the spiritual armor, your soul and your home are defenseless. Men, the number of weapons you have will never compensate for your prayerlessness. It will never compensate for spiritual apathy or sin. Oh, how Satan would love to deceive you into thinking you are shielded and protected when you are not. We need real protection from the evil one. And that true shield is a shield of faith. A shield of faith. Some people think that faith is below them. But really, everybody lives by faith in something, don't we? I love what my dad has said about how we use faith every day. He said, the doctor sends a prescription you can't read to a pharmacist you don't know who fills it with a medicine you've never heard of, and you swallow the pill every single day. Don't tell me you don't live by faith. And yet we have trouble putting our faith in the God of the universe, that faithful God that we've been singing about, that powerful God that we sang about. Everyone has faith in something. The question is, what are you trusting in? Faith in anything is not a shield. It's faith in the one who has defeated Satan that is a shield. It's faith in Jesus, who reigns above all angels and authorities and powers being subjected to him. That is a shield for us. So what does faith in God look like? What does it look like? I think it looks like trusting God's character. trusting God's character. Psalm 18:30 said, "This God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in Him." Or Isaiah 43, he says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire," sometimes it's not just the fiery arrows. Sometimes Satan has you in that fiery furnace itself. "And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. Why? For I am the Lord your God, the one who's redeemed you, the one who's called you." You can trust God's character. Or Psalm 11, verse 1 through 3, "In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, 'Flee like a bird to your mountain'? For behold, the wicked, they bend the bow. They have fitted their arrow to the string to shoot in the dark at the upright in heart." Doesn't that sound like Ephesians 6? The arrow fitted to the bow. He says, "If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? What can the righteous do? When that arrow is fitted to the string, when the foundations are destroyed, what can we do? In the Lord I take refuge." We trust God's character. And not only do we trust God's character, but we believe God's word. Believing God's word. How do I wield that shield of faith? I need to believe God's word. In Psalm 119, in verse 114, he said, "You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word." I hope in your word. I think about our father Abraham. What did the apostle Paul say of him in Romans chapter 4:19? "He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced of what? That God was able to do what he had promised." He believed God's word. Believing God's word, strengthening in faith despite his circumstance. I think about those Roman legions, how they would use their shields, not just to protect themselves, but to protect each other. I want you to see this picture right here. You see how they're locking shields and protecting one another. There's a group of guys that I know, they work out together, and afterwards they have a small group Bible study together. And they call their Bible study Shield Lock. Shield Lock. I love that. You see, you cannot believe for anyone else, but your faith can be a blessing to someone else. And someone else's faith can be a blessing to you. We need the faith of the whole faith community together to fight the spiritual fight together, because there will be times when, unlike our father Abraham, you will feel too weak to believe, where you feel like you are wavering in your faith. And those fiery arrows, they might be raining down from every direction. And you need people around you who have faith in God's character and who believe God's word and who will lock shields with you and will cover you with hope and faith and prayer when you feel like you cannot fight for yourself. That's why you need the people here in this room. We need one another to fight the good fight of faith. We got to trust God's character and believe God's word. And then using faith as a shield, here's what else it looks like. It looks like obeying God's commands. Obeying God's commands. Paul said in Galatians 5:6, he said, "The only thing that counts for anything is faith," listen here, "working through love." Faith working through love. And famously, The Apostle James, what did he say in James chapter 2, 26? Faith apart from works is dead. Faith apart from works is dead. To say it another way, a shield offers no protection for the one who does not pick it up and use it. And so we have to pick up the shield and wield it. The soldier must actively deploy it in his defense. I would say it this way: faith at work is a shield that works. Faith at work is a shield that works. I understand you all are studying the book of Hebrews right now. And Hebrews chapter 11 has that passage about all these people of faith who came before. And I just note here in Hebrews 11, by faith, Abel offered a sacrifice. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham went to a land he hadn't known. By faith, Moses' parents hid him. By faith, Israel crossed the Red Sea. By faith, Rahab welcomed the spies. By faith, some conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, and stopped the mouths of lions. By faith, others endured persecution and imprisonment and rejection. By faith, they all obeyed. By faith, they all did something. What did Paul say in Romans? The righteous shall live by faith. Live by faith. At our church, we say it like this: it's not just church, it's life. It's not just about right here on Sunday morning saying, I believe in God. It's about going out there and Monday through Saturday, living in obedience to what He has commanded as an expression and display of our faith in God. That's a shield. Faith that is working in our lives to shield us and to engage in the spiritual battle to win the spiritual victory that Christ has purchased for us. And so when you are trusting in God's character and believing God's word and obeying God's commands, then you are wielding that shield of faith that can extinguish all the fiery arrows that Satan will release your way. So as we close, I just want to ask a question. Where is your faith? Maybe another way to ask it: who is your shield? Who is your shield? Are you taking refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation and the spiritual victory that only He can give? If you've never taken refuge in God for the forgiveness of sins, to experience that grace upon grace that we sang about at the beginning, if you haven't ever done that, that's the first thing you need to do. What did I say? In the spiritual battle, in the war against Satan, the Christian who marches out in unbelief is defeated before he ever gets started. Do you have faith in Christ? That's where it all starts. And if you have faith in Christ, are you standing firm? Are you fighting the good fight of faith? Oh, how we need the Church of Jesus Christ to awaken and to stand and to fight the good fight of faith. Satan isn't waiting around for us to get serious, is he? He's already maneuvering and scheming and working. But God has given us the victory in Christ. Therefore, stand firm. And when you've done everything you can do, stand. Stand in His armor. Stand against Satan in God's power. Oh, the power that is at our disposal. And stand in His armor. Would you bow with me? And I want to just invite you now to take some spiritual inventory. Where do you stand with Christ? And if you haven't yet started by putting your faith in Him, today you can do that even right now. There's no magical formula. It's about the posture of your heart towards God. We have to do away with pride. We have to do away with Satan's lies. We have to believe the truth and so be free. We humble ourselves. We confess to God. And we receive His grace upon grace. If you want to do that right now, would you just call out to Him? Do something simple like this. Lord Jesus, I believe in You. I receive what You've done for me on the cross. I'm trusting in You. I ask You to give me Your power to live in spiritual victory until You call me home. In Jesus' name, amen. Now look right here. Maybe you called out to Christ. He has heard your prayer. But now you need to talk to someone else about that. Because like I said, we can't do it alone. We need to lock shields together. And so if you've called on the Lord today and He's become your refuge, while we sing this final song, I want to challenge you. Either take a friend by the hand or come talk to Brother John. You do what you need to do to cement what God has said to you in your heart today. I want to invite you to stand with me. And as we sing this song, maybe you, as a Christian, you know you need God's power to stand firm. And God has spoken to you in some specific way today, an area of your life where you know you need to stand firm, but you need God's power. I want to invite you, you can come to the altar while we're singing. You pray, you ask God for that power, and He will give it generously. He gave His one and only Son to purchase that power and pardon for you. Won't He give you that power now by His Spirit? And so you ask for it. You plead with God to help you to stand and fight the good fight of faith. When I pray, you just respond to God however He leads you. Lord Jesus, we have opened Your word. And now we're praying that it will bear fruit in our lives. Lord, we're praying that You would give us the wisdom and the courage and the faith to take what You have said to us today and live it in our lives every day, fighting the good fight for You. Lord, we can't do it apart from You, so we're humbling ourselves. We know we're no match for Satan, but he's no match for You, and You have won the war already. So fill us with Your Spirit, that we might fight for Your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.